Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 107 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment with a quick Emmys wrap-up, go over some of the recent news with WandaVision and the Marvel slate, and then talk some gaming news with the PS5 information regarding pricing and models coming out. And then we'll move over into tech, and we've got some Chinese news with hacking, as well as updates to that TikTok, Oracle, and Walmart deal. And then we can jump over into space news with updates to a SpaceX competitor and potentially life on Venus. There is a ton to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, well, let's get started here on episode 107 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And yesterday was, you know, a big day. It was the Emmys, and I'm sure everybody watched.
Yeah, they did a horrible job of advertising this because I had no clue. I had no clue whatsoever.
I knew it was coming just because I'd seen some other things, like John Oliver had already received awards. They were giving out like certain like creative Emmys awards throughout the week. So like I knew that the Emmys were coming. I guess I just couldn't get into care mode on this one.
Yeah, I mean, with every award show kind of tanking with it being virtual, and they must not have wanted to spend a bunch of money on marketing because there was no kind of like big award show. So it's like, why are we going to spend millions of dollars hyping this? I don't know, man. Another casualty of 2020.
Yeah. But we can quickly kind of go through and discuss some of the bigger, more notable ones, especially in our world of nerd stuff, right? You know, Watchmen won big as far as it being a show that we were big fans of, and that kind of adaptation of the Watchmen story, not of the comic itself, but of a continuation of the story. And you get like Regina King winning for lead actress. Supporting actor is Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who played Mr. Manhattan. And then they win for best limited series in general. So Watchmen wins pretty big. I think that was fairly well expected when you look at that category, but still a good win for them.
Yeah, another big winner was that Schitt's Creek. I pounded that out a few months ago because I knew they were in their final season, and I knew it had a big cult following. So I watched all the episodes. They're only half hour. It's an old school half hour comedy show, so you get to really kind of go through them pretty quick. And it was a good show. It deserves the recognition it got. A lot of great acting, a lot of good storylines, big cult following. If you look at the interwebs and how their fans react to it. So it was good to see good creative writing and storytelling awarded in its final season, and it gets some recognition.
Yeah, I mean, that was a clean sweep for them in the comedy department. They won Best Comedy, and they won every actor category, Best Leading Actor, Actress, and Best Supporting Actor and Actress.
Well, especially in a year where, you know, Modern Family wraps up. What else wrapped up? A Good Place wrapped up. A lot of shows had their final, comedies had their final season this year, and for them to beat out all those was a pretty big deal.
And then, trying to think if there's other real major notable ones. You know, you get Best Supporting Actress in a Drama. It was from Ozark. What is her name? Julia Gardner, coming out of Ozark. And I mean, she's great there. That's really, I think, the only major category that Ozark took, which historically, you know, they've been kind of stealing the Emmys over previous years.
Yeah. Billy Crudup won for The Morning Show for Supporting Actor. It was good to see that show get a little bit of recognition so that the Apple TV kind of gets solidified a little bit. He was great in it. It was a really good show. I'm wondering when the cutoff was for the Emmys, because I honestly do believe that Chris Evans should have at least been nominated for Defending Jacob. But I don't know when the cutoff for a lot of these shows go in.
Yeah, I'm uncertain. Then I guess, you know, Outstanding Drama Series, you get Succession winning there, which I have yet to watch, but I've only heard good things there. but they beat out like The Mandalorian and Ozark and some of those other big names. I don't know. I'm just upset that you know, one of my favorites, The Masked Singer, lost to RuPaul's Drag Race, which and that's a disappointing loss for my household.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little rough. The Masked Singer is pretty popular over here, but RuPaul's Drag Race, I guess, just kills it in ratings. They got like 20 versions of the show around the world.
Yeah, I know.
I listened to Miley Cyrus talk about it on Rogan the other week, and I was like, damn. Like,
yeah, no, it's pretty wild. But all right, well, that's our version of the Emmys wrap up. I don't spend too much time there. It was an awkward, slightly awkward event. Having people from their living rooms accept their awards. You had some people like Zendaya, who won for Best Actress.
Yeah, it's a big deal for her.
She was in like full on like red carpet gown. Some people were like in their sweatpants and pajamas.
Well, you know, you figure someone like Zendaya, this is like her first big kind of, you know, she's young. So yeah, like she didn't want to get robbed that free designer dress, you know? And then you have other old school guys just like, man, I've been here, done that. Like tuxedo's a tuxedo. Yeah, it was just, I think that was part of the appeal. It wasn't like a big gala thing. It wasn't, you know, the musical numbers and the performances and speeches. You know, you're not in a room with your peers. It just, all these award shows are losing a lot of what makes them kind of like a big deal with everything going virtual. Yeah, and like I said, I don't remember seeing one goddamn commercial saying Sunday night Emmys. You know, I was watching Sunday Night Football. Like that's the most normal thing of 2020 right now is the NFL.
It really is. I was watching last night with Natalie, and she was like, "How's football happening?" I was like, "Oh, because they just don't care." Like NBA,
we've been giving guys brain damage for 60 years. You think we care about a virus?
NBA went and did their bubble thing, and they were super restrictive and had the shortened season. And it's like, nope. And NFL, they're still traveling to away games every week. They
got fans in the stands.
Yeah, they don't care. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So whatever. I don't care.
I don't give a shit. Just give me my football
at this point. But all right, let's jump out of Emmys and let's keep in entertainment. We can go over real fast. So the WandaVision trailer came out during the Emmys yesterday, and new WandaVision trailer and news that WandaVision is now going to get released through Disney Plus ahead of Falcon and Winter Soldier, which they're still not wrapped up on filming that series. So WandaVision's further along. And they're going to release that first, which I imagine is pretty big news in the Marvel world since everything's kind of sequentially timed together.
Yeah, I'm sure they've planned this, though. Like, they probably wanted it to go in a certain order, but I can't imagine that WandaVision has any spoilers then. Like, they wouldn't... I can't imagine they would do that.
Not for, Falcon Winter Soldier. And I know WandaVision... The plan for WandaVision was that show was going to open up doors that the movies need to close, like very closely tied to the Doctor Strange coming out, the Multiverse of Madness is supposed to be very closely tied to WandaVision.
Yeah, so I mean, they usually always have a plan. You know, maybe they did some editing to where they could air it. And they're like, oh, well, we wanted to refer to this in WandaVision. We'll just cut it out so we can release it.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer for WandaVision, it definitely piques my interest. I have no idea where it's going with it.
The trailer was wild. Really interesting. Looks really Twilight Zone-ish.
It definitely looks like the mental breaking of Scarlet Witch, and she's going a little nuts and is breaking reality.
Yeah, which goes along with comics, but it also leads to some major comic events that if they're going to play with these comic events in the MCU, you better fucking do it right. There's some of the best things that Marvel's ever done. You know, House of M and Secret Invasion. These are things that Marvel's been toying with for a few years now, just kind of like dabbling and dangling it in front of comic book fans. If they decide to tackle these storylines, don't fuck it up, man.
I mean, I'm not too tied into those storylines. As long as they do, I don't know. something interesting. And like I said, this looks interesting. It'll be, and the quality of it, as far as like the clips that they showed, it still looks like movie quality, near movie quality, as far as CGI and how they're putting it together. So it might just be close to like a 10-hour movie at that point in time.
Yeah. We'll see, man. There's all kinds of speculation because you don't know. Like, everyone's just like shooting from the hip on what they think it is, because there really is no definitive, like, oh, it's going to be this. It's like, could be this, could be something else. We'll see where they go with it.
Yeah. And then the news in the Disney Plus shows for Marvel is that the She-Hulk has been named, has been casted, I guess, and it's going to be Tatiana Maslany. Which I don't know her. I was just disappointed, mostly because there was rumors and from the actress who plays Rosa from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I thought she would have been a spectacular casting for that.
Yeah, same. Like they were talking about Alison Brie being She-Hulk, and I'm a huge Alison Brie fan. So, but this Tatiana, she was just in that Perry Mason on HBO that I just got done watching, and she was really good in it. Like she played a pretty powerful character. She was really good in that. She was on Parks and Rec for a few episodes. She's a big Black Mirror character, I guess. So should be a good casting. I'm just wondering, yeah, how they're going to do the She-Hulk transformation, if it's going to be CGI like the movies, or if they're just going to try to Lou Ferrigno somebody and scale down the other actors.
I think she's just gonna be sitting in a computer chair acting this thing out. It's all gonna be face capture and CGI.
Yeah, but I mean, all the actresses that were up for it, that were rumored to be up for it, were quality actresses. So I'm not upset about this at all.
All right, well then let's move out of television here into a little bit of gaming. And this last week's We finally get, you know, 2 weeks ago, we got the Xbox Series S and Series X news. We knew PlayStation was going to come and follow. They had their event. And we get the revealing of PlayStation 5, kind of their two versions, their digital version and their full version, as well as the finally get their cost.
This was a shit show altogether. So the event was pretty good. You know, nothing newsworthy, but they did show off a few things and then released the price and the fact that there was a discless one for a little cheaper. And then said that you'll be able to pre-order it tomorrow. Maury decided that was a lie. that was some straight bullshit. Cause anybody that was that has been anticipating this, we all started like checking the stores to see like, all right, should I just start spamming at midnight? Should I, you know, so I like went on Best Buy at like 9 o'clock, like, okay, like I wonder if they even have it up ready to go. And it was like add to cart. And I was like, oh shit. So I started adding to cart, was spamming I got all the way to putting in my credit card information, trying to run my card. I got so far into the pre-order by like 10:30, but still I was up till 1:30 in the morning refreshing and I still couldn't get one. Now all the pre-orders are gone. Like the discless, the cheaper discless one, so regular PlayStation with the disc drive was $4.99. The one without the disc drive is $3.99. So they made limited amounts of the one without the disc drive, so those went super, super fast, because one, it's the cheaper one, and a lot of people don't use discs now anyways, so they were like, fuck it, that's the one I want. It was just a straight up shit show, man.
Yeah, and our you know, Cantina member and buddy Sean Mullen gave us the kind of backstory as far as what might have happened. And what you got was the day of the event, before the pre-orders, Walmart even sent out a tweet saying like, oh, you want your PlayStation 5 tomorrow? Why wait? We're opening up pre-orders now. And then it forced essentially Best Buy and everybody else to kind of scramble potentially. And maybe that was it. Maybe a little bit of, as he described, a little bit of Walmart playing the Leroy Jenkins. just kicking down the door and starting up with the pre-orders a little early. And then it forced everybody to do it when they really weren't ready to. So it was kind of this, yeah, you... each retailer was opening up the pre-orders at different times. Walmart had it up, and then you got to jump into maybe Target. You can get it on Target, but then it was up and down with them and Best Buy, and it was, yeah, a mess.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. A lot of people got the pre-orders, and Sony even admits that it was a shit show and that they're going to try to do something to fix it and release some more. But that's the thing with COVID affecting production, and there's a lot of things that go into this, and I just don't know if they could be like, hey, let's let people pre-order some more. You know, Amazon had to shut down their page. GameStop, Best Buy, they were just lagging. No one was prepared for it. And even Microsoft started taking shots at them on Twitter.
Did they? I missed that, but of course they did.
You know,
I feel like somewhere in my future should be like me owning the handle to some like major corporation's Twitter. I feel like if I could get paid to just be snarky at other companies all day long.
Oh yeah,
that'd be gold for me.
It's one of the better things to come out of like corporate competition on Twitter. Is like Wendy's a savage. Yeah. Wendy's just is a straight up savage. Arby's gives no fucks. Like some of these tweets are just absolutely great. Yeah, you know, I like the fact that a lot of corporations have like a friendly rivalry on Twitter. Like I think I don't know if that was calculated amongst a bunch of corporate heads, but it's a really successful campaign.
Like, yeah. But yeah, so in the end, you know, did anything from the PlayStation event change your mind? I mean, you were always planning on getting both. It sounds like you were trying to pre-order it, which previously you were saying you were going to pre-order Xbox and later get the PlayStation.
Well, when I seen the craziness, I was going to pre-order it, and if I could sell it for double the price, I'd sell it. Like I was going to get a pre-order, and boo. If I could make a come up, that's what I was going to do. If I got stuck with it, I was going to keep it. Either way, like I wouldn't have been mad. I wouldn't have cared. You know, like, yeah, the Xbox is the one I want to play on day one. So if I would have got stuck with my PlayStation, whatever, I'll hook that one up too. But if somebody was like, hey, bro, I'll buy that motherfucker off you right now for $800, I'd have been like, sold. Sold, buddy.
Yeah, I didn't attempt to do the pre-order. In hindsight, maybe I should have. Maybe even if it would have just helped me snag one in that mess for a friend or whatever else. But nothing about PS5 is tipping the scale that I need a next gen console on day one.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I see benefits, but it's not one of those things that I'm just like, I have to. I've had every Xbox on release, including every version of the Xbox One. I got the One S when it frickin' released the first day. I got the One X when it released the first day. Like, since the OG Xbox, I've had them all on day one. So it's kind of a tradition at this point. Twice I had a tent set outside Best Buy.
Yeah, those days are hopefully over.
Yeah, hopefully. I'll pay some teenager to do it this time. I don't give a fuck. If that's what it came down to, there's some fucking 17-year-old that's on some e-learning program that will set up a laptop while he's at school outside Best Buy in a tent for me. Before we move on to the next one, there's a story that just crossed my eyes that isn't on the outline. For once we catch it before we record the show and we have to report on it next week. Xbox bought Bethesda. So now Xbox owns Wolfenstein, Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Doom, The Evil Within, some major titles.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know what they bought it for, but I'm guessing it's probably in like the tens of billions at least. Yeah.
And I mean, any future projects that they have coming out, they own the tech now. Honest to God, I really hope it's so they can make every one of these games Xbox exclusives and shove it right up the PS fanboy's ass. Oh, do you own PlayStation? Absolutely. You love Doom? Guess what? You don't get to play it anymore. Ha ha ha.
I mean, it's absolutely what they're doing. I mean, they've bought up, Microsoft has bought up game developers over the last, you know, 5 years. They've been significantly buying up game developers. This is probably the biggest one that's been around forever with Bethesda games. And I mean, this has been Microsoft's plan towards getting exclusives is not signing exclusive deals.
If not, at least making the game exclusive. I hope that, so like Bungie stuck it to Xbox by making like certain levels on Destiny only available on PlayStation. So like Destiny had a more expanded game if you owned PlayStation rather than Xbox. So if they don't at least make these games Xbox exclusives, I hope at least they're like, you know, hey, you get a whole extra level or you get an extra this if you own the Xbox version because we own it. You know, so
yeah,
it's just them owning Bethesda. Bethesda is a huge development company, just, and for Microsoft to own them now, that's kind of a really big deal.
Yeah, no, that's big. I'm curious to see what the strategy is going to be for that. I'm certain a part of it is definitely going to be exclusive games. I'm sure they're not going to take every Bethesda title and do full exclusivity, but there's going to be a lot coming out of there. So that's interesting. That's right in line with the Microsoft strategy, and we'll report on that as we get more. Good find.
Not wait until next week to tell you all about that one.
All right. Well, and then stay in gaming, whatever else. A quick talk about Nintendo losing some lawsuit in, where was this? Was this Australia? But the way it was a lawsuit lost by Nintendo. Somebody sued and won, this is in UK, and over the Joy-Con drift, and a court ruled that essentially, yeah, there is a problem here. And I can attest, as somebody who has a brand new Switch, and like day one playing Mario Kart, all of a sudden I'm in a constant left turn. I didn't know what the hell was going on. Apparently it's a really big problem. I never had a Switch and never knew about it, but I guess it's been something that's been plaguing Switch owners. So good to see that a court ruled that, hey, Nintendo, you need to address this.
Well, I do like the fact that, you know, legally we have an option to hold these gaming manufacturers accountable for major kind of fuck ups like this. I'm wondering, just like some other Twitter users that I seen this week, wondering why the fuck we didn't sue the shit out of Xbox for the Red Ring of Death. Like if we could sue for Joy-Con drifts, why can't we sue for our gaming turning into
I don't think you can sue if the company is addressing it. So like Red Ring of Death, you are able to send it in. You were able to get prepaid packaging, send it in, because I had to do it. I had the Red Ring of Death, and I was able to get prepaid packaging, send in my console, get it back a month later, and all that stuff. Nintendo has just said, like, no, this isn't our problem. We're not fixing your Joy-Cons. There's nothing wrong with them. So it's a drastically different aspect in the sense that Nintendo just has stopped fixing them and has stopped addressing the issue.
Well, I want to say that you could only get the Red Ring of Death fixed if it was in the 1-year warranty, like manufacturer warranty, because I know I had to chuck one of mine.
Yeah, I'm uncertain on all of that, but I do know for a fact that I was able to take care of it, and Microsoft admitted fault with it, and they did have a path to get it corrected, which is not what Nintendo's doing with this Joy-Con drift. It is just something that apparently Switch fans just know that you just deal with.
Should be something as easy as just sending out new controller things to everybody, you know, like step it the fuck up and just send out the new controllers.
Yeah, I don't think it's a controller issue. I think it's an actual, I don't know. We'll see. I know there's now a calibration feature where you can calibrate your Joy-Cons on a Nintendo Switch. And I think, you know, maybe that's their way of using software to correct this. But
all right, that's enough for gaming. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, we move, I guess we could just say a somber farewell briefly to DC Universe.
Farewell. Why did you ever exist?
I still don't understand it. I still don't know who told DC that, like, oh yeah, you've got such great fans that they're going to pay for a dedicated streaming service just for you. No, that's not how this works. But all the DC Universe shows, the ones that are going to continue, are moving over to HBO Max, and then they're shutting down their live television or recorded shows, and they're moving it all over to HBO Max, and they're just sticking with being a digital comic book platform.
Yeah,
as DC Universe.
I'm waiting for CBS All Access to go this route too, so I can watch that Star Trek show, the Picard, just because it's like, you know, they have these streaming services dedicated to the 50 to 75 fucking age group, and now DC.
CBS All Access is rebranding and changing from CBS All Access to, I think it's now falling under Paramount, and Paramount so is they're gonna doing do a its Peacock own streaming version, service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Universal will have theirs, Paramount will have it. See, well, that one I can justify throwing a couple dollars at. You know, like, I couldn't justify getting the Murder, She Wrote streaming service. Like, I couldn't do it. You know, same thing with the DC Universe. I just couldn't justify it, man. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, that's what we're looking at with CBS All Access. It's definitely changing here soon. So, DC Universe, farewell. In the end, all its content's going to go to HBO Max, which is the better place for it to be. Makes more sense anyway, since Warner Brothers owns that streaming service. Why would you have DC Universe? All right, let's jump into some tech news now. I guess we could go over a couple Chinese related topics here, and we'll start with
new fuck China segment.
Yeah, fuck China. We haven't done one in a while.
we need an entry theme song for that. Like, fuck China.
All right. We can go with that for now. Maybe I'll just cut that up from you. And what we get is a group of five Chinese nationals that were all charged by the U.S. in cyber attacks on more than 100 companies. And it's a lot of like gaming companies, other kind of major corporations, all being attacked by this group of five Chinese nationals that they're trying to claim is directly tied to like actual nation state Chinese government-backed hacking group. And if it's true,
well, that's the thing, is they can deny it all they want. If you are from China, you are a government employee. Like, the minute you are born on that soil, you are a government employee. Like, I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you tell yourself in your head. You work for the government. Like, that's just how it goes.
Yeah, that's not an actual reality there. There are some hackers and things that, I mean, they're just hackers. And then there are some groups like the APT41 or Barium hacking group that is pretty well known that it hacks targets of interest of the Chinese government. And that's who they're trying to tie this individual hacking group to. So I think two of them were arrested in Malaysia. There's still three that have, you know, kind of like these open charges against them. And I don't know. We'll see if anything comes about it. But just more instances being tracked of kind of this, you know, nation state hacking groups or hacking attempts against U.S. and other nations, kind of corporations, corporate espionage.
Yeah, China gonna China, man. They're gonna try to take all the shit. Like, that's just what we know. Like, this stuff isn't surprising at all.
No,
you know, like if you're just like, oh, if you're clutching your pearls because you found out fucking China's trying to steal some shit off the interwebs, you need to come out from under your rock.
Yeah, and then, you know, in more, you know, Chinese company news, we get the continuation of the TikTok ban, the TikTok and WeChat ban that has now been going on for weeks, and the ban was supposed to go into effect this weekend. You get Oracle and Walmart having their deal, which I don't know how Oracle and Walmart tie together.
This is the weirdest.
And
I think Walmart bought them just so that they can control maybe advertisement revenue that TikTok streams. You know, so now because there's so many TikTok users that do sponsored ads and stuff, and they, you know, now that they own it, they might be able to limit on what people are selling and the ads being broadcast over TikTok. So that,
I mean, I don't know. This whole story gets weirder and weirder with the TikTok stuff. We've been talking about this for over a year now with TikTok. And, you know, originally it was going to be Microsoft, which kind of made sense. And then it became Oracle, which was like, oh, okay. And then Oracle and Walmart. And it was always that it had to be a majority share of US, like ByteDance was not going to disappear as far as having TikTok holdings, but it had to be a majority share of US companies. but that now it's really only looking like Oracle and Walmart are going to have a pretty minority portion of it. But that's because ByteDance is 40% owned by U.S. Investors. So then they're like, ah, that's good enough. And even though it's a Chinese operated company, but because 40% of the investors that back it are U.S., we're just going to now give them more credit as being a U.S. company. In the end, it's really kind of come up with some like weird compromises along the way. But TikTok is moving to headquarters, bringing like 25,000 jobs to Texas, creating a TikTok headquarters down there. You know, Oracle and Walmart timing up gives them the trusted U.S. partners. And in the end, the ban of TikTok, as far as it was supposed to ban any new downloads coming out of the app stores by the Commerce Department, that got turned off for the TikTok. Now, the WeChat ban, that was still supposed to keep going because nobody came in and rescued WeChat. And the Trump administration, a judge put a halt on the Trump administration from banning WeChat from App Store. So you can still get WeChat today. Don't know where this is going to go and whether that judge is going to hold that up. But that to me becomes really interesting, this whole WeChat continuing, because WeChat's owned by Tencent. And then you also get news this week that the Trump administration has opened up questions into Epic and Riot Games, asking them about their data privacy, their user data, where they store it, what's going on with that, because Epic and Riot Games are also owned by Tencent. And this is kind of like the warning shots that maybe the Trump administration is going to go after these game companies that are owned by Chinese-backed companies like Tencent. But then if you look at like Tencent's holdings, Tencent owns everything. Like yeah. Tencent owns, you know, when you look at it's Tencent owns 100% of Riot Games, which is League of Legends. And like, so you've got significant games with significant followings, 100% owned by Tencent, a Chinese backed company. And then you look at like their holdings, Tencent is a pretty significant investor in like Epic Games, which obviously, you know, we've been talking about Epic and the Apple ban and looking at Epic with, you know, namely Fortnite being the biggest one. But then you look at other holdings of Tencent, and I mean, it even comes down to the fact that Tencent owns Reddit, or a major stake in Reddit. at what point does this, you know, look into Tencent and their ties to Chinese government?
Well, for me, this is all about where the money goes to. So that's important, but to me, it's less important than where the data goes to, because that's what this is really supposed to be all about, is about who's scraping our information, who owns it, and where it goes. So I don't understand about any of these companies being bought out or anything, you know, like Walmart owning Oracle. How does that change the code that is sending data to China? You know what I mean? Like, how does them owning the profits from advertisements and things like that stop the data scraping code from scraping data and sending it to China?
Well, because it now gives a trusted U.S. partner that we can sue for violations of data.
Violations like of seeing. What? Because Facebook does it to us. Everybody's scraping data. But, you know what I mean? Like, so you know, what the fuck are they really violating?
We talked previously about like the Illinois biometric data law that Facebook violated, that they're now looking at paying out billions of dollars in a class action lawsuit to Illinois residents. If you're an Illinois resident and you have a Facebook account, here within the next couple weeks, I think by September 25th, Facebook has to have a way for you to join the class action suit and to get potentially up to $600 in violation of them storing biometric data that they should not have. And Illinois is the only state that has that rule. So Illinois residents are the only ones who are winning in that. But it still gives them, you know, a way to sue these companies for legislation to track this. So U.S. trusted U.S. partners, now you could sue Oracle or you could sue Walmart as a part of the time, because you weren't going to go and, what were you going to go sue ByteDance based out of China? Nope.
Yeah, I just don't know how it affects the technical end. Like, yeah, okay, we might be able to sue them, but you also got to prove it, and we'll see. Like, I'm not worried about who's making the profits. I'm worried about who's taking the data.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. You know, when you look at like Tencent and what their stakes are in games like PUBG and Fortnite and stuff. Like, yeah, what access do they have to any of this? Or is it just purely just an investor relationship, which is what I have always understood it to be? I mean, Tencent isn't in developing. They're just in they're just essentially a gigantic, almost like venture capital fund that is just buying up everything that's popular. Like I said, it could go interesting directions. So we know that the Trump administration, as of this week, is talking to Epic and Riot Games specifically. WeChat is still on the future potential banning for their tie to Tencent. So it could go potentially in a negative way for many of our listeners and fans regarding some of these games. Can you imagine the shitstorm that would happen if the Trump administration tries to ban downloads of Fortnite over their ties to Tencent?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, but at the same time, like we've been preaching with the TikTok stuff is, I don't give a shit how much you like watching these little kids do dance moves. If it's a national security issue, find somewhere else to put, you know, find something else to do. Like national security trumps your need to watch a 12-year-old do the milliwop. Like, I don't give a shit, you know, like.
Yeah, I just think it's a big jump. And we'll see. We'll see, I guess, if the questions are asked and there's some information that comes out regarding some questionable ties that Epic or Riot Games has due to their relationship with China, then maybe. But as of right now, I mean, these games haven't been tied to any of that stuff. So we'll be paying attention and definitely talk about it here. But then let's, I guess, jump into a little bit of I guess there's more China news before we move on. We'll transition into space talk with some China talk as well as you know, the headline was that, you know, China beats Elon Musk's SpaceX with a floating space port in the Pacific Ocean. So China's is building an actual floating space port that they can launch from. Like, we know that SpaceX has got their drone ship catching rockets as it comes back down, but China's now got a complete floating gigantic Kennedy Space Center, essentially, that is capable of launching rockets from space. And
what's the benefit of shooting a rocket off in the ocean? I don't understand. You know, I mean, like, I get it. China's got a billion people and a smaller land mass than the United States or, you know, somewhat relative, but they got a billion people. It's hard to find square miles of just empty fields to shoot rockets off to where you won't hurt anybody. Not here. Not here. We could shoot 100 rockets off in Wyoming and not be close to any motherfucker anywhere.
I think it's an interesting concept and probably something that SpaceX, I would be surprised if they don't try to go this route, just based off of the fact that, you know, I think last week SpaceX had another launch delayed due to weather and everything else. Imagine if you got a floating spaceport, you could move that thing around and maybe find some better conditions and better overall kind of better launch conditions to actually go through with these things.
But it's also susceptible to hurricanes, tsunamis, all kinds of weather events. Like, I just don't see, like, why this is, like, we beat Elon. Like,
well, because, I mean, like I said, it SpaceX has a plan to do this. So SpaceX has talked about having floating launch pads and floating recovery. They've been doing the floating recovery. The floating launch pads, they have yet to put to work or to get done. So technically, this Chinese launch company did beat them to that. This is something that SpaceX has publicly announced.
I just don't see, like, why it's... So, like, this and our next story with Russia, I just feel our our country's trying to flex on our latest space endeavors. You know, we just shot people up to the moon, to the space station again, and, you know, moon trips. And I think just other countries are looking to get headlines now. So, and it's easy to try to pick on Elon. Like, he's such a good sport about it. Like, he don't care. He rolls it off really well. So,
oh, he absolutely cares, though.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah.
He's very upset that somebody else is launching from the ocean before him.
Well, he's not going to take it out on anybody but his employees.
Yeah. Whatever division was in charge of that right now is really upset because they're now not allowed to go home for the next 3 months.
But yeah, I just think it's them just trying to flex a little bit on the United States space program. So, okay, guys, you got it. Good job.
but we can talk about the more important space news, and that's, you know, potential signs of life on the planet Venus. And
yeah, this is pretty interesting.
It is interesting, and I've listened to, like, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson's talked about the significance of this, and a bunch of other you know, major scientists have come out and talked about the fact that it's a cool, you know, potential sign of life. It, at a minimum, it's either signs of life as far as these molecules being identified in the atmosphere. So these phosphine molecules being identified in the atmosphere of Venus. Phosphine here on Earth is only created by organic matter. So living, breathing organisms, maybe not breathing, but living organisms are the ones that cause phosphine to be released. And there's no way to create phosphine known to our scientists, known on Earth, to create phosphine without life, without biological material. So it does just come with this, hey, complete shock that where is this phosphine coming from in the atmosphere? Is that proof of a sign of life? Or at a minimum, it's proof of another way of creating phosphine outside of life, if that doesn't prove to be true.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that we're finding these things now with our, you know, updated technology and really kind of expanding on what we think is possible on these planets. It's really interesting because the smarter we get, the more we learn about what's going on over there. It's exciting. Like, yeah, please be aliens. Please. Like, I want a new place to go.
I mean, now NASA and everybody's kind of looking at sending at least, you know, some kind of shuttles or some kind of detection systems around and in orbit on Venus. I mean, it's still going to be difficult to, like, ever collect samples from Venus, as, like, the surface of Venus is, like, 400 degrees Celsius. Like, it is hotter than the melting point of, like, lead. So you can't really, like, land anything there and do a you know, big exploratory mission or something like that, like you see with Mars rovers and whatever else. That's not really a thing.
Yeah, I don't want to get into a fight with anything that's surviving on that planet. Let's put it like that.
But, you know, either way, everybody's trying to explore over there, but I don't know. It's not easy to explore Russian territory. And that's what we get with our kind of last story for the week, is a part of this whole Venus discovery is that the Russian version of NASA, so the Russian Space Agency, the government-backed space agency, came out and declared that Venus is a Russian planet. That is Russian territory. Venus is Russia. And they're glad to see that, you know, the UK and US scientists have discovered potential life on their planet.
This is just so absurd. Like, I would like to take this moment and declare my ownership of Saturn. Saturn is now owned by the Vingua family. Like, I don't, like, this just shows, like, the whole mindset of the Russian government too. Like, it's like that fat kid when you were in school that made it to the top of the slide and was just like, this is mine now. This is like, no, fatty, you're gonna slide down eventually and it'll be community.
Like, yeah, so they're making these claims off the fact that they were essentially the first to explore Venus. Back in like the 60s, they had launched satellites in orbit around it, and they had launched. So they're claiming, like, oh, well, we were there first, so this is Russia.
So we own the moon then, right? We own the moon? No. Are they going to accept that claim?
By that logic, Russia owns the moon as well, because they're not talking about humans landing on Venus. That's never happened. They're talking about instruments landing on Venus. Russia was the first one to land any instrumentation and to go in orbit around the moon. Russia was also the first ones to land any instrumentation on Mars. So I guess Mars is theirs too now. By this logic, they're just claiming space. They were also the first ones to space. Maybe they just own space. We're just, everything is Russian at this point in time.
Yeah, no, that's not how it works, man. I'm pretty sure you got to land on it. I'm pretty sure you got to land on it if you want to make a claim.
I'm pretty sure even landing on it doesn't give you a claim.
No, but it's a better argument. It's a better argument.
Yeah, but you know? I mean, if you say that Russia right now has got some Russian prisoners, they're about to just put and melt some human beings on Venus and be like, well, we did it.
No, I mean, throughout human history, I think the technical achievement to owning something is landing there and killing anything living on that space. Like, unless you do both those things, you don't own shit. that has been the bar for entire human civilization. If it's yours, that means you're on there, and you kill anybody else that thinks it's theirs. that's how we do shit.
I was gonna say, you go full like Christopher Columbus on this thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not just Christopher Columbus, Genghis Khan. Like let's not throw, like, there's been other ethnicities that have done this also.
Like, yeah, this is just less that claimed like they discovered a new place. It's like, oh shit, there's people here already. All right.
You know, Genghis Khan,
get rid of that.
Alexander the Great. There have been plenty of people that have conquered the known world by just stepping foot and killing everybody and saying, it's mine now.
Well, you've heard it here, Russians. That's all you got to do is go to the 400 degree Celsius planet, kill whatever phosphine creating organisms are there, and then it's yours.
Yeah, you can have it. I will accept those terms. Oh, Jesus. But,
either way, I think this is a great discovery. I'm sure for the next couple of years, we're going to hear about these missions to Venus and checking out these phosphines and seeing where it comes from. And like I said, at a minimum, you know, scientists will be excited if they just find out that, hey, you can create phosphine through, you know, extremely heated magma and stuff like that that's taking place on Venus with kind of the volcanic activity that takes place. Regular people like us will be very disappointed if that's the result. If this is not biological material, the casual people, space followers will be less impressed if you just figured out how to make new gas.
Well, you know, they're in a lab right now trying to make some crazy, you know, system that can withstand the heat, like something made out of porcelain or vibranium or some shit that can take it. You know, we are.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I guess the Russians did, you know, way back when, in the 60s or 70s, had something that gathered data for like 117 minutes or something like that on Venus. So it survived for a little while to gather some data back then.
I don't believe those Russians. Fake news.
Oh. All right, but that's a week in entertainment and tech and space news here.
Yeah, not a bad week for COVID. COVID news. We've been having a rough 6 months with COVID affecting everybody's life in every aspect. It's hard to find these interesting topics,
like new novel topics.
Yeah. So it was a pretty decent week.
Yeah. Well. If you enjoyed, we hope you can take a moment and give us a rating review. Should only take you a few seconds to do so. And it does a great deal of benefit for us over here at the Nerd Cantina Show. But if that's too much for you, just join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join the group, join the conversations, share some memes, do whatever you find enjoyment. But it's a good place, good people.
Yeah, and share whatever you're working on. Every Tuesday, we do a self-promotion Tuesday, so you can share in the group whatever it is you do or you're working on that's in the nerd culture and show it off to our members. We have a few guys in there developing some video games and some rendering. Some
comics.
Yeah, like there's a lot of people in there sharing their work on what they're doing. So even if you just want to take the opportunity to join the group and promote your comic, your novel, your video game, whatever you're working on in the nerd culture, join the group, share it with us on Tuesdays.
All right, well, with all that said, we will talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.